If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Viewer voice messages, ladies and gentlemen, here we go. All right, y'all sent in some incredible questions this week, some conversations or whatever. We've already done one video where we knocked out about, I don't know, 10 or so. We're going to knock out the rest in this one, so let's not mess around. Let's get it started. Let's rock and roll here. The first one, Ronnie Rubio, related to Ricky Rubio, perhaps.
The face of the franchise, the best to do it, the best in the business.
I mean,
I love calling you, man. I wish I could call you more often. So here I am.
Speakpipe.com is always open, 24/7.
I'm at 9:45 on the dot.
All right. PM, AM?
9:45 AM.
Okay. Early California morning. Time,
right before the Saints and Dolphins game. And I have a quick story.
Go ahead.
So I was about to send a recording. I was going to watch your video. I was about to send a recording.
Yeah.
The Sunday morning, because I was going to wake up to watch the, like, European game or whatever.
Yeah.
My wife's water broke.
Oh,
and,
my God.
I'm watching your video.
Hey, hold on a second. Congratulations, brother.
And,
I mean, sorry about the floor, but congratulations on everything else.
And her water broke. And I said, well, honey, we're going to have to watch the face of the franchise first.
I mean, this is unbelievable, what Ronnie's telling me right now. Ronnie, that's the appropriate answer. And I'm not, you know, I'm not going to say she was trying to steal the spotlight from the face of the franchise, but, you know, but 100%, you know, listen, that's one of those things where you don't want to miss the golden tidbits that I'm handing out in every single video. I think you made the right call.
And then we went to the hospital, and my son was born. He was actually born during the Saints-Panthers game, and he got clawed out, C-section.
I wasn't sure if that was a medical term, what was going on here.
He got clawed out, and when I hear, there's baby, right? You have the little, like, drape or whatever that covers.
Yeah, the drape may, as some would say.
Me and my wife, so I'm talking to my wife, and we're actually, like, not really talking. We're watching the Saints and Panthers game, and we're like, oh, my gosh, we're going to do victory formation. And as soon as Tyler Shuck touches his knee to the ground, you see my son just pop up, fly.
Unbelievable.
Up. Crazy story, man.
Unfreaking believable. I mean, that's a blessed child. What's the name of the kid? I mean, you kind of have to name, I mean, James, I mean, you know, but, well, I mean, the kid only knows success for a short period of time until the Dolphins game. But, well, I mean, he had the bye week, right? So he has the Panthers game. The child is born amongst the victory formation. Then you get the bye week. So for the first 2 weeks of that kid's life, I mean, what a time to be alive. He didn't know nothing about, you know, the sadness and the depression of the rest of the Saints season. Hopefully he was, you know how people play like Mozart and stuff to babies to make them smarter or whatever. I mean, this baby, I'm assuming, was listening to a ton of my videos and probably still is listening to a ton of my videos. So you're doing it right, Ronnie.
So I met my wife because she was a Saints fan. I was a Saints fan. My son, one of my son's middle names is Saint. So Drew,
unbelievable.
Saint Kamara.
That's his name? Drew Saint Kamara? It's an insane, I mean.
James Abair Skrmetta was born.
Yes.
During victory formation.
Yes.
Of the Saints-Panthers game. Anyway.
Drew Saint Kamara, Bobby Abair's Cajun Kitchen, James. What a name.
So what I like to mention, my bro, is
Also, good blinker usage.
So I'm kind of stuck between the middle with Kellen Moore. I'm stuck.
Sounds like you're stuck in between a left turn right now, my man.
Between he's either Matt LaFleur or he's Mike McDaniels. And here's my argument for both. So I understand, like, the frustration it is to have a guy who is just like a play caller and he's not a quote-unquote enforcer. I'm not a big, like, oh, enforcer of, you know, do 1,000 push-ups if your shoelaces are untied. Like, I'm not all for that. But there is a sense of, you know, does Kellen Moore send people to the principal's office or is he the principal? And I think that there is a sense of where he can lose respect to the team like that. And a lot of times they just seem unprepared. Like, there's no reason that Tyler Shuck and Kamara are fumbling an RPO like that. Like, there's
Well, there is. I mean, the reason is that Tyler Shuck's a rookie and that was his second game. And, you know. Oh, that was his first start, right? Right? Isn't that how it played out? So, no, that was just, not who the hell even knows. But, you know, that's the reason, right? The reason, it was his third start, right? He had the LA game, Carolina, bye week, Atlanta. So, third start, he's a rookie, growing pain.
No reason that should happen, especially not after a bye. Especially not after a bye. I mean, there's like zero excuses for that. Now, on the other end, I do think he's Dan Campbell in the sense I don't think he should give up play calling. I think that's the only reason why we freaking hired him. Well, the main reason why we hired him, because he's a good play caller. But Dan Campbell had to figure it out.
Yeah.
And Kellen Moore is kind of figuring out. And I would argue that it was harder for Kellen Moore because he originally thought that he was going to have Derek Carr.
People do forget that, you know, like Kellen Moore, Derek Carr was supposed to be the starting quarterback, you know, so not that that changes things, you know, wholly, but I'm glad you mentioned the Campbell thing because I've used that, you know, comparison before that Kellen is very similar to Campbell and that they're kind of figuring things out and then, you know, whatever. Where, like you mentioned, where Campbell gave up play calling, Kellen can't do that. If Kellen gives up play calling, I got a lot of questions, you know what I mean? It's more about just figuring out what he's good at, what to delegate, what like how the actual flow of, you know, the team and the culture and all that stuff's going to go. And you know, we're seeing that in real time for sure. And Kellen, 36, I mean, he might be 37 now, but so super, super young. You know, he's as much of a rookie as anybody else.
When you compare him to other coaches and you see like Ben Johnson in his first year, Mike Vrabel was a coach beforehand. But Ben Johnson learned from Dan Campbell. He had Dan Campbell kind of, let's say, just mentor him. Let's just say, for lack of a better term. Dan Campbell is doing what Kellen Moore is doing now, where he's kind of building it from scratch, rebuilding it from scratch, because you have people that you have to play, but they're just shells of themselves. Taysom Hill and Kamara are just shells of themselves, at least what we've seen this year. So, like, Ben Johnson is a good comparison. Liam Cohen came from a Todd Bowles who they won a Super Bowl. So I think there's two sides to view it. I don't know which side to view yet. We'll see.
Well, hold on. Wasn't I think Bruce Arians was the coach of the Bucs when they won the Super Bowl. Correct. The 2020 Tampa Bay Buccaneers head coach Bruce Arians won the Super Bowl, beat the Chiefs. I mean, am I good or am I good, ladies and gentlemen?
If I'm Kellen Moore right now, I don't take Tyler Shuck off the field at all. Like, he does not come off the field. It's bombs over Baghdad, and you're throwing 45 times a game.
Yeah, I think that's what we're going to see this week. I think against the Bucks, we got to see 50 passes for Big Daddy.
As long as it doesn't hurt his development, but he already threw a lot.
Yeah,
the Falcons game. He just didn't throw it at the 1 yard line. So if I'm Kellen Moore, I prove everyone right by making all my rookies that I drafted look like Pro Bowlers, and let's go to the next season to the draft on a winning streak.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Love the stuff. You're the best, bro. Keep it up, dude. If I ever go to New Orleans, I owe you. I think your drink is an old fashioned. I don't know.
Good question. I actually rotate I have, you know, I drink, it depends on the season, it depends on the atmosphere, the bar, or the restaurant, or whatever, but my three drinks that, if I'm at a cocktail situation, my go-to three drinks are a martini, and, you know, dirty martini. I usually go gin, but I'm not going to turn my nose up at a you know, dirty a vodka martini. Relatively dirty, not a seawater situation, but, you know. Then, yeah, the old-fashioned. Love old-fashions. I was drinking old-fashions 2 weekends ago when walking around some of the hotels, New Orleans, looking at the Christmas lights. But love the old-fashioned. That's definitely one. And then the Negroni for the summer. Everyone knows the summer is Negroni season. I'm not going to drink a Negroni in December. But during the summer, I definitely get involved with the Negronis. Now, I'm also going to drink whatever, right? Like, I'll enjoy a Sazerac. I'll enjoy a damn milk punch. I'll enjoy a Pimm's cup. I'll enjoy anything. Does not matter to me. Aperol Spritz. I love Campari. A little Campari and soda. Aperol. My Aperol Spritz, I like Campari over the Aperol because Aperol's a little sweeter. Campari's a little more bitter. I like the bitter side of things. But again, that's a summer situation. Yeah, champagne, wine. The only thing I never, ever get is white wine. That's the only thing I really never get involved with. Champagne, you know, kind of pseudo, you know, Prosecco, whatever. That could be kind of a white wine. But like just like Chardonnay, Pinot Grigio, stuff like that, I never get that. Ever. Ever. I'll get red wine sometimes, steak restaurant or whatever, but that's the only thing. So, and then, of course, definitely enjoy my beers. But I owe you a drink, pal, after that call and you being, you know, the baby and all that stuff. Next up, the one and only Anonymous.
Yo, James, I was playing Madden 19, and yes, Jesus, I had Christ. Drew Brees, Michael Thomas, and everything else, right? But yeah. Listen, I was playing an all Madden for, I was playing Texans, right?
Sure.
That game, the defense was giving up a lot of, you know, blown coverages and everything, getting, yeah. The Texans were just going off, right?
Yeah.
Right. So then I'm like, shit, I need to win this game. But I'm like, you know what? I got Drew Brees, I'm good. Tell me how the game finished 66-59. Like, bro, I could have quit so many times because Madden is cheese, but man, I just stuck to the end. And that's what I'm talking about. All this team needs is heart.
Hold on a second. I mean, I got a lot of questions. Question number one, why are you playing Madden 19 in 2025? I mean, I respect the hustle. I respect the grind of, you know, hey, look, I like this Madden. This is my Madden. This is the one I'm going to play. But, I mean, you know, you might want to take a trip to GameStop. You might want to take a lot. It's probably like $15 at this point because they're, you know, they get discounted as the season goes on. So I'm sure they might just give it to you if you walk into GameStop and just ask, hey, you have Madden 26. So I would recommend getting the new version, or at least a newer version.
In real life, you know what I'm saying? This team doesn't have heart, bro. Like, even with Drew Brees, I was going to lose the game, especially because his release is so slow. But man, Drew Brees fumbled twice. Kamara fumbled twice. Ingram fumbled once. You know what I mean? Like, bro, I was controlling the line, the defensive lineman. I think it was Tyler Davidson, I think. And I was just getting after the quarterback. I was trying everything in my power to just get the pressure, you know? So what I'm just saying is, NFL games don't have to be perfect for us to win games, but we need heart. We need heart, man. Like, I'm like, damn, I'm going to see this through. If I lose, I lose, but that's all Madden. So, you know, and you can't control everybody. So I just had to do what was working. It's short passes, deep throws when they were there. I wasn't even feeding Michael Thomas. I was literally just playing the game. You know what I mean?
Well, you got to get your defense sorted out. I mean, if you give up 66 points? You need to have a chat with your defensive coordinator.
So Kellen Moore needs to also understand the flow of it.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Game. Like, I was getting the field goals when they were there. Yeah, I marched all the way to the 1 yard line. But guess what? I'm like, this is good. You need to take a field goal here. They were up so many times. They came back. You know, my defense kept getting cooked. I just kept, you know, just keep with the game plan, keep with the script, you know, things like that. Like, that can make a difference between a win and lose. You don't have to be the greatest roster, and no football game is ever perfect. But I suggest the Saints to just stick to the plan, stick to what's working. You never know. You might catch a break somewhere. So I've, you know, luckily for me, I caught a break because all Madden's not easy. Like, you can even take the scrub of the NFL in terms of QBs or even teams, and Madden finds a way to just max out the stats. So you're always playing against elite competition every time. So I'm just saying that we need heart on this team. Kellen needs to stick to the script, and he needs to just go for the easy things. Sometimes you need a field goal. Sometimes you need to just pick up a couple yards here and there by running a power, H-back power, or even just a quick slant to your tight end just to get the first down. So rather than trying to make splash plays and yards after catch, I suggest the Saints just get the first downs and just try to do the simple things. Because in the end of the day, that's what really matters, because it's sometimes the simple things are what you need to do, not overthink.
I mean, this is like a Sudoku puzzle. This is something else. It's early. I'm doing this early Saturday morning. I don't take days off. All right. A lot of people, they work, you know, whatever. They do a video a day, a video every 2 days, take time off on the weekend. Not me. All right. This is early. Early Saturday morning. And this is one hell of a metaphor mixed with an analogy, mixed with some examples. And I mean, I think there's a simile somewhere in there.
Think and not go crazy and try to be cute. Just the simple things. Get the first downs. And if you got to get a field goal, get a field goal. And the defense as well. Keep to your assignments and just do what you got to do. And just hope and pray that you outlast other teams. Sometimes it's all about outlasting and having that fortitude. Because not all the time it's about, you know, skills and you got the best player over here, or best player over there, or matchups. It's just about keeping straight to what you do and know, and just keep pushing slowly and slowly until you wear the other team down or something goes your way. Because if you're doing it right, it will happen. Like, even the touchdown, I was throwing slants into the end zone. I was letting Ingram power it in the end zone. Something simple, you know. Sometimes simplicity is the answer. Thanks, James.
Okay. Wow. That, my question for you would be, in your Madden 19, all Madden game against the Houston Texans, what would be your situation? What would you do if, instead of being 66-59, what if it was 6-0 and you lost? Because then it's like, well, nothing's working. The simple stuff's not working. I'm getting stopped on fourth down. I'm missing field goals. I can't run the ball. I can't do anything. There's penalties. What would be your advice then? Because that's kind of what's going on with the Saints. All right, next up is Divine Eternity.
Yo, what's up, James?
What's up, man?
Face of the franchise.
Best in the
best
world.
Best in the business.
No, you're not wrong.
All right. At this point, if you're a head coach on a hot seat,
yeah,
you're probably hoping that the Saints are on your schedule. And that's crazy to say, but that is so true. I'm recording this at halftime. 16-0. You would think this a winnable game. We're only two scores down.
Man, Divine Eternity is about to... So he sent another message. There's two messages in here. I'm guessing it was at the end of the game. So this is an interesting psychological experiment. We're going to hear at halftime, which was a disaster. The Saints were as bad as I've seen them this year at halftime. And then at the end of the game, completely different.
But at this point, we can't even count on the Saints to even get a field goal, man. Like, a touchdown is already a big ask We haven't even seen what the new kicker can even do. Like, Tyler Shough went down there, threw a pick, and he's not convincing anybody that we don't have to look for a quarterback during the offseason. And I'm not going to sit here and say I wasn't rooting for him, because I don't want to go into the offseason looking around like, well, do we need a quarterback? Like, bro, that sucks. That's a whole setback. And the Saints are saving people's jobs. Raheem Morris comes into New Orleans after a losing streak that was just diabolical, because they were supposed to be the Super Bowl champion Falcons, and we blow that game. Like, I'm not saying Raheem Morris is not going to be fired at the end of the season anyway, but come on, man. Like, at this point, it's like Kellen Moore, these guys, buddies, bro. Like, he's literally saving jobs right now. Mike McDaniels, on a hot seat, comes, like, it's bad, man.
The Saints are, it's so interesting. I was going through this in a video this week, but the Saints are the most, like, difficult get-right team of all time. Because you're right. Like, the Saints absolutely do help hot seat coaches or whoever else, but they don't make it easy. You know, like, the Falcons game was whatever, but the Dolphins game, Saints could have won that. Some would say should have won that. The Patriots, like, we lost by 6 to the Patriots. You know, arguably the best team in the NFL right now. Right? Like, the 49ers lose by 5. Cardinals lose by 7. You got a chance to win all these games. You know, it's like, yeah, they are losing nonstop, but it's not like they just roll over and it's like, okay, we're going to put up 40 points against the Saints. We're going to look great. This is a get right spot. Go in there, dominate, see you later. The Saints really make you work for it.
Like, it's bad. If I'm a head coach on a hot seat, man, I'm just hoping. Just give me New Orleans, man. And let me convince these people that I'm still a good coach, because, like, it's just we're just handing out freebies. It's bad. The offense is doing nothing, absolutely nothing, showing nothing. They're just suiting up, putting their uniform on, and they're just showing up, man. But they're not showing out. But honestly, the defense has they have some sparks, man. They're showing that they have a little juice on the defensive side, but the offense, they're not helping. They're not helping whatsoever.
Yeah, defense has been good. I mean, they've had a couple of games where it's like, all right, I mean, kind of getting rolled here. I mean, even like Miami on the ground. But, I mean, you know, grand scheme of things, like, they held Miami in check at times. They certainly held Tua in check. A-Chain went crazy. But, I mean, that's a hell of a performance on the road. And then, you know, Chicago was really, really bad too. But most of the other games, and they've played some really difficult individual people. You know, like the Christian McCaffreys of the world, the Josh Allens of the world, the Rams, the Seahawks, and, you know, they've been up against, like, the Seahawks with Kenneth Walker. I think Kenneth Walker had, like, 2 yards of carry.
Danny Stutzman, man, he could actually have a future on his team. So.
Oh, yeah.
I guess if you're trying to look for any glimmer of hope, you know, you can find a little bit of it on defense. They still have a lot of bad moments, a lot of things they have to clean up. I want to say it's Kellen Moore's first year, and then he needs another year. But, man, like, how much better are we going to be next year at this point? Because I can't imagine it's going to be that huge of a jump from where we are, because right now, man, we're not showing too much.
We got to see it this year, brother. I mean, we got to see something. Like, that's the big thing. We can't keep having, now this game obviously turns out a little different, but we can't keep having zeros on the scoreboard. We can't keep having just nothing happening. You know, I keep talking about Kellen with the Eagles last year, where at the beginning of the year, the Eagles were bad offensively. They weren't scoring in the first quarter, first half. They weren't running the football. Like, it was just disjointed and a nightmare. And Kellen figured it out pretty quick. I mean, like, by like week 7, week 8, everything was cool, figured out, and they went on to win the Super Bowl. I'm not saying the Saints should go on to win the Super Bowl, but at some point they do have to figure it out. Like, at some point they do have to see what works. And you can tell they're experimenting, right? Taysom Hill has 10 carries and he has one carry. Like, Spencer Rattler's quarterback and then Tyler Shuck's quarterback. Chris Olave is the main guy, then Devon Vele is the main guy. Like, you can tell there is this overarching experimentation. But at a certain point, you kind of have to figure out what it is, like what you have, what you're going to do, what you're going to utilize. And we need to start seeing that. We can't go the entire season with just failed experiments, because then, how are you supposed to quantify what the team's going to look like next year? We're deep into the season, and it's a weird situation because we had the quarterback change and all that. So it kind of delays everything as far as and we had some injuries too. Alvin Kamara, he's a starting running back, but now you got to figure out who's your starting running back. And that was not planned. It wasn't planned to do that. Eric McCoy goes down. Talisa Fuaga goes down. So now you got to kind of experiment with the offensive line while experimenting with the running backs, while experimenting with the quarterbacks. So it's just a lot, but at some point we do need to see some kind of success.
It's really bad. I can't predict how this game is going to end, but I sure as hell is not predicting a comeback. But I did pick Miami to win this game in the offseason. I didn't think Miami was going to be a bad team this year, but who knows? Maybe the Saints just saved their season. But I don't know what you think.
All right, let's go into his second call. And I'm interested to see if this is after the game. I'm sure it is.
What's up, James Devine again? I'm back. Halftime, man. I put in a message for the halftime, so I kind of gave you my view of the game at that point when it was 0-16. And the final score, since we're officially to the end of it, 17-21, Miami Dolphins win. We got to the red zone, and we had a chance to go for the two and tie it up and possibly go into overtime. But it didn't end like that. Shuck throws an interception, and they run it back or whatever on a two-point try. Second half, I don't really want to walk back anything I said, but I do like that they showed a little spunk in the second half. There was just enough inconsistency for them to kind of play themselves into a loss, but this is an example of what happens when you don't put up no points in the first half. Go into the first half.
It's not even points. They had 30 yards in the first half, along with turnovers. It's not they didn't have any points, but, it's kind of a slog, kind of a slow game, whatever. They just didn't do anything. They, in that Miami game, they basically played two quarters while Miami got four.
Which is zero, not even three. And then you try to come back the way you did, is probably gonna kind of bite you in the end, and leave you looking real blue on the loss end of it. But I mean it's tough, bro. We've seen this game before, man. I give you, if you remember the Chicago Bears game, they bullied us in the first half. We got bullied. Yeah. Groupie goes in, miss a kick. Everything just seemed hopeless. And the defense, they were fighting. They were scrapping, kind of like this game, similarly. And we go into the second half, all right, now what? And the Saints come out. Offense is rolling. They walk it down, and they put up points.
if you look at the season, right, you can look at the Cardinals. Cardinals score 3 points in the second half. 49ers score 10 points in the second half. The Patriots score 3 points in the second half. The Panthers, we won, but the Falcons score 8 points in the second half. The Dolphins score 5 points in the second half. And you lose every one of those games. That's crazy. It's it's crazy the way that the season has gone. If I told you before the game, Yeah, we're going to hold the Cardinals to 3 points in the second half. We're going to hold the 49ers to 10 points. 10 points is whatever. We're going to hold the Patriots to 3 points in the second half. We're going to hold the Falcons to 8 points. We're going to hold the Dolphins to 5 points. It's like, well, damn, we got to win at least one of them, right? No, lose every single one of them.
Kind of did the same thing, you know, with this game. But Kellen Moore, Mr. Kellen Moore, our guy, our buddy. We love him like a brother, right?
Love him.
Man, put up more points in the first half, man. Like, quit playing behind. Like, we got to see something different. You're not going to win that way. And these games can't just keep ending on us trying to last minute tie it up or last minute try and take a lead. Like those, you can't keep gambling that way, man. It's not going to always end in your favor, especially with this rebuilding team that needs some surgical relief right now. But yeah, that's what I got right now, man. The Jets, they just showed us how to beat the Falcons. Yep. They just showed us how to take down those Dirty Bears who embarrassed us in New Orleans. But maybe we can show the Falcons how to take down the Jets. You never know. I mean, who knows? I mean, after that Carolina win, we beat Carolina and they swept the Falcons. So I don't know. At this point, you got to have what, realistic expectations? We're not really hoping for much right now, but I mean, we're just hoping that some of these players are a part of our future and that they're good and that they're long term. But I tell you what, anything's possible for the Panthers when they beat the Rams, I guess, because that's a crazy one for the books right there. But I personally, man, I like Matthew Stafford, but I'm not really, you know, that fond of the Rams. I still kind of hold a grudge with the no call thing. But hey, that's me personally. I'm who that. I'm black and gold. But shout out to you, man. And yeah.
Thank you, man.
Another one bites the dust.
There you go. But this is kind of interesting too, right? Like, this just shows you how weird the NFL is at times. But it's like, all right, the Jets beat the Falcons, okay? And you look at the box score, and the Jets score 7 points in the first half. They score 20 in the second half, okay? So they're kind of following our blueprint, right? The Jets have 9 less first downs than the Falcons. They run 4 less plays, but they have 120 less yards. They lose the YPP by a yard and a half, okay? The Falcons almost have 6 yards per play. The Falcons run for 5.2 yards a carry, 167 yards on the ground. The Jets have 110 yards on the ground for 3.9 yards a carry. The Jets also have 9 penalties compared to Atlanta's 1, and the Jets have the ball for 5 minutes less than the Falcons. And they win. You know, it's like, wait, what? How did they win this game? How did they win this? Falcons have a turnover. But you're looking at this and you're just like, how the hell did this happen? Like, they lost in every single metric except turnovers. And then if you look at the Saints game, the Saints had 8 more first downs than the Falcons. They have 23 more plays. They have basically the same yards. Now, the Saints have 3.8 yards per play. This is the big thing with the Saints here. The Saints have 214 yards passing to 181. The Saints limit the Falcons to 4.2 yards a carry. They had 2.8. The Saints have 4 turnovers to the Falcons' 9. The Saints have the ball for 5 more minutes. They have a defensive and special teams touchdown. They do have more turnovers. I'm not saying the Saints should have won this game. But you look at the 2 box scores, and the Jets one, it's like the Jets absolutely should have lost that game. You look at the Saints one, it's like, yeah, the Saints should have lost, but this game was never competitive, right, with the Saints and the Falcons. And the Jets one, not only is it competitive, the Jets win. The NFL is a weird business, ladies and gentlemen. All right, let's go to James Y.
Hey, what's going on, James?
What's up, man?
Excuse the voice, a little under the weather right now.
It's all right. And, feel better soon.
That game versus the Miami Dolphins.
Get you some bone broth.
That's for sure.
Some bone broth, man.
It's similar issues. First half is just can't get anything going ever. Second half, we look a lot better.
Yep.
I really just want to talk about that last drive because so much went right for us. For the first time in a long time, the Saints were beneficiaries of some 50-50 plays, and we got so close. The pick two, that Minka Fitzpatrick pick two, going to Vele. Yeah, ball's a little bit behind him. You would think, and maybe this is me looking into it a little too much, but you would think that knowing the situation, somebody had to have been, hey, look, we cannot allow them to get 2 points here. That was literally worst case scenario for them to throw that interception. And then to look at the broadcast and look, and nobody has enough pride in this team to chase them down, but nobody's within 20, 30 yards of the guy. He's just running rampant. And now instead of being down by two, we're down by four. So instead of being able to get the ball back after a great play, great hell of a kick by Smith, hell of a recovery, it was a ticky-tack, may have been the other way, but we got it. And then to, oh my God. And then we were marching downfield somehow. Somehow we're marching downfield. Third and one. I don't hate the choice to throw it. Second. Second down, my fault.
Second and one, the throw deep is perfect. Perfect play call.
I don't mind that choice throwing it to Olave. Looks like he was very a catchable ball. He could have got that one, but I'm not going to kill him over that. He was double covered, probably didn't expect it. The rain's still coming down. Third and one. That throwaway, Shuck's got to know. That is not a spot where you can just waste that possession, that down at all.
Yeah.
Even.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on in third and one, but yeah, to just waste the down, throw it away, whatever, is brutal.
And if he would have just dumped it off to Devin Neal again or anybody, just try and let somebody make a play. But all going off the back foot and throwing it out of bounds doesn't do anything for everybody. And then Kellen Moore, if you're going to run the sneak, run it on third and one.
Yeah.
Why? If you're going to run the sneak, if you do that twice in a row, maybe you get it.
Well, you can't do it twice in a row. You can only do it once. And this is kind of the Pete Carroll in the Super Bowl thing when he threw it instead of ran it. He's looking at, like, the Pete Carroll thing was like, well, if I throw it, I can only do it once. And if I'm going to do it, I might as well do it here. And then I'll run on the next down. This was the same thing where it's like, and that's kind of my whole reason of why you do it on third down, is that you get one run and then you call your timeout. You might as well do it on third when there's still that element of, well, they could pass and run. You don't have to run a sneak. You can run a draw. You can run, you know, quarterback draw or a halfback draw, or you can do a sneak if you want, or just run a regular running play, whatever, and then burn your timeout. If you don't get it, okay, burn your timeout. Now give me your best fourth down play to get a yard and try and get out of bounds or spike it or whatever. But, yeah, I mean, the way he did it was definitely wrong, and I don't know what the play call was on third down. It might have been one of those things where he called his best 1 yard play on third down and Chuck, you know, wasn't there or whatever. He throws it away. But yeah, I mean, the sequencing of that was definitely, definitely wrong. And then to line up for the sneak, the way that, it was the most like telegraphed sneak of all time. And I mean, the Saints weren't even close to getting it.
But I don't even understand why you feel comfortable to do a sneak on fourth and one when we can't get a yard on first and 10. So you mean to tell me when everybody's expecting you to sneak up the middle, all of a sudden this offensive line's going to have the push they haven't had all season? That's silly. Respectfully, I still am very much bought into Kellen Moore, but he's got to do something quick. Because these similar issues, I know the penalties aren't on him, but to an extent, they reflect coaching. This lack of everybody being, there's lacks of separation, lacks of preparation, it seems at times. Not knowing the situation where you throw a pick and they run it back for an extra 2 points. And now you're down by more than one field goal.
I think there is a combination of like execution mixed with some Kellen stuff, mixed with personnel issues. But like, you know, the pick before half, the pick two, is like, you're talking about worst case scenario times for interceptions. You know, the false start on Talise Fuego and the 2-point conversion, again, it's like, I don't know if Bill Walsh is the coach. I don't know if that matters. You know, like, it's just, and then, yeah, like you mentioned, we just can't get a yard. It's been like that all season long, whether it's Taysom, whether it's Alvin, whether it's Devin Neal, whether it's Tyler Shuck, whether it's Spencer Rattler. It doesn't really matter. When we need a yard, whether it's on the goal line or fourth down, middle of the field, we just cannot get it. And I think that's a personnel thing. I mean, it's just, I mean, I'm not splitting the atom here. Our offensive line is horrible.
Oh, excuse me.
It's okay.
I just, that is, people will say, oh, you can't kill Kellen Moore. Oh, it's not the coach, not the coach. Some of this is the coach. I love Kellen Moore. I like Staley. Staley's getting trashed on every other play, but at the same time, the defense has a consistency to them to where you know at least every so often they're going to get a stop. This offense, you don't know if they're ever going to put up points.
No, yeah, you're
because
true.
Even once they get within the 10-yard line, there's no guarantee. Excuse me.
Get you a lozenge, brother.
Charlie Smith, first field goal, go ahead and knock that thing straight down the middle.
Would have been good from 100.
Miami, that was great. Vele, yep. Legacy game. Love to see
yep.
it. Please, going
build
forward.
Build the statue.
I don't know why it took. So I don't even know what week this is. It's how long it's been. Like this
13?
Team is so bad, it's kind of hard. Everything just kind of blends together. But
well, it's week 14
another
now.
Crappy week to be a Saints fan.
But that
I
was
mean,
week
I guess you could say they showed fight, but it was against the sub 500 Miami Dolphins, who, granted, are better than their record.
Yeah, sneaky,
say, but
pretty good. Sneaky good.
This team has just got to get better in so many areas.
Got to get to a Ricola.
It's not much to say. I mean, they get you the ball back when you need it several times, and you just don't do anything with it. This is on Kellen Moore and the offense, like it has been.
Yeah.
Love the channel, man. Tuned
you,
into
man.
The stream a little bit. That was it was a nail biter for sure.
No doubt.
Yeah, appreciate the content. Peace.
Thank you, brother. Get you a damn honey lozenge, my boy. Get you a damn honey lozenge. All right. Next up is Simon.
What's up, James Scrametta? Scrametta James, face
what's up,
of
man?
Franchise.
There you
always
go.
Nice talking to you.
Yeah, you too.
It's Simon. I want to once again say that I love this podcast.
Thank you.
And that this is a very interactive podcast. I like that part about it, especially.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, I got some things to talk about.
Go ahead.
That I want to hear your opinion on. First off, this offense, man. And it's been a thing last year, too. Like, the offense was always slow to start. Even last year, not just this season. Like, even with a whole different coaching staff, with a whole different scheme, like, it just takes them a while to get started off. I don't know what type of juju Mickey Loomis put on this team, what type of hex he put on them, but, man, it don't matter who's at the helm. Like, they're going to start off slow. But, I mean, kudos to them for fighting. You know, to lose in Saints fashion like how they do. But my question about that, their slow starts, do you think that is an execution? Is that a matter of execution or is that a matter of play calling by the coach? And if it's two things can be true. If it's that situation, then can you expound on that? And another thing, my God.
I think the slow starts are a product of Kellen wanting to do something and the Saints just can't do it. I think he gets into all these games and he's like, all right, let's run the football. Let's ramp up a little bit. Let's get things going. And the Saints just can't do that. And they go first and 10 into second and 10 into third and 8 into 6-yard completion into punt. And it's not until he kind of pivots and says, all right, well, that's not working. So let's change some things that the Saints kind of get going. Now, at week 14, right, we are deep into the season. Week 14, you got to kind of make the change. You know, I mean, you got to kind of understand, like, look, that's not working. Let's quit doing that. Do something else, whether you open the game up in a 2-minute drill, you open the game up throwing the football, whatever. But I think that's kind of the reason for the slow start is he's trying to play with this tempo and this kind of rhythm, and the Saints just aren't good at doing that right now. They're just not good at playing on tempo or on rhythm and with tempo, especially not to start the games.
Devon Valey, Bradshaw balling. Bro was looking like wide receiver one out there.
He really was.
You know, Sean Payton said whenever we traded him, it was something that I heard around that time that we traded for him. Sean Payton saying that he reminds him of Marcus Colston, and did he play like that? Hell yeah.
You know what's crazy about Devon Bailey is that even when he wasn't getting catches, the catches he was making were really hard catches. And I remember thinking, like, why are we not targeting this guy more? I mean, he is making every contested catch. He is making every single play. Yeah, it might be a six-yard slant, but it's like he is bodying the defender. He's making some a very difficult catch every time. And then this game, that's how it was. A lot of those catches he made were hard as hell. I mean, there was a couple times where I'm like, all right, there's a drop, whatever. And then I'm like, oh, he caught it? He came down with that? He held on to it? Wow.
Can he keep it up? We'll see.
Yeah, but it's been one game. Yeah.
I knew, Simon, I knew me. whenever he wasn't getting the usage that he was supposed to be getting, and people were kind of like poo-pooing on him.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't like that. I was like, man, every ball that's been thrown to him, it hits him in the hands, he doesn't drop it.
Exactly.
I noticed that about him.
Exactly. Yeah.
He's tall, 6'5". He's also fast. I think he runs like a 4.47. So that's sneakily fast. But yeah, like, dude has hands.
No doubt.
And I think he can be the number one wide receiver. I mean, I believe, like, man, if Chris Olave, if that was Devon Bailey that Tyler Shuck was throwing that to, that would have been a touchdown catch. And
I 100% agree. 100%.
And we might be talking about this game in a different light.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, anyway, man, Devon Bailey, he's looking like that guy right now.
True.
And Tyler Shuck, I know there's mixed reviews about him and his game and how he played and all this and da-da-da, but I see a lot of potential in him, and I am willing to go through the peaks. I mean, yeah, I'm willing to go through the lows and the valleys to see his high point and his peaks.
Yeah. I think it's worth just playing it out. You know, I mean, now it changes if, like, I'm recording all this before the conference championship games. If Mendoza goes out there and has 500 yards against Ohio State and 3 touchdowns, and then Mendoza runs through the playoffs and he's just the best player, obviously, it's okay. I mean, all right, fine, whatever. You know, I can understand where you get kind of lost in that. But if that doesn't happen, then I'm totally fine with rolling Shuck out there next year and building out the rest of the roster.
Because, I mean, yeah.
And that's kind of, too, like, that's kind of like the backup plan, right? He's older, so there's not this, like, rush to develop. Like, if he was a 20-year-old player or whatever, he's kind of NFL ready. So if he just is this for 2 seasons, it's like, all right, cool, whatever. And then he's at a good age, you're at a good time. Like, everything kind of lines up to where if you want to move off of him, fine, no harm, no foul. Gave you 2 years. It is what it is. You know, like, it's a second round pick, whatever. Like, yeah, you wish, you know, like, it's just different. So it kind of lines up too with you give him 2 years and then see what happens. You know, don't force yourself into taking Ty Simpson or something.
He made some crucial turnovers and did some things.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I mean, he's a rookie there. I'm expecting him to do stuff like that. But those, man, he made some good throws. He attacks whenever he throws. I like that about him. So I'm willing to go through the lows with him to see.
I'm with you there.
Is a high.
I'm with you.
But yeah, man. I don't know. Like, I felt like this team was, they kind of, I didn't know if the air was being sucked out of them from the season, and they was just like, oh man.
Yeah.
This is it.
They fight. I mean, there's no doubt about that. They have not lost their fight or their any of that stuff this entire time.
But they, I mean, they showed some fight. Kudos to them. But yeah, I think we just get some more talent, man. Yeah, I think the rest of the season is just going to go like this. I just think that. But if the rest of the season goes like this, we might not see Tyler Shuck next year. If we have like a number three or number two pick for next year's draft, man. I don't know.
Possible. I mean, it's possible.
I don't know if we get to see Tyler Shuck again, and it's kind of like unfair, but you know.
Yeah.
I feel like he doesn't have a lot of time. Like, he has to get some good games out. Like,
yeah, he's got some stuff working against him for sure
to solidify his spot. But yeah, those are my thoughts on the game. Let me know. But thank you.
Thank you, man. Great call. Great call, Simon. Actually, he has another part here.
What's up, James? It's Simon again.
I had
a question. Not necessarily about this past game, but kind of like just about Devin Neal in general so far.
Okay.
And what we're seeing. What do you think about him? Like,
how
Because, I mean, he came from Kansas. I think he holds the
he's got like every record
over
of Kansas
there for the most rushing yards, I believe.
Yeah.
It's something like that. I know he was a good running back, a really good running back for Kansas. And we drafted him in the sixth round. Like, people were talking about he was a steal and this and that, like the next coming of whoever, you know what I'm saying? Like, what do you think about him so far? Like, do you think he's had an underwhelming performance? Whether that's by his skills or is that by his lack of usage by Kellen Moore? Or what do you think about him? Do you think that he will get the chance to show what he can do? Or do you think he'll just kind of like be one of those guys who just kind of gets moved to the side?
I think he's fine. I think for a sixth round rookie, third string running back who now has to be the main ball carrier, like, I think he's performing admirably. I think at times, like the Atlanta game, he was our best player. So it's one of those things where, kind of similar to Rattler his first year, where you got to kind of grade it on a curve just because of the situation. Like, he's not supposed to be carrying the ball 15 times. You know, like, Devin Neal was brought in to be a spell halfback, five carries, whatever, change of pace, maybe not even play. And now it's like, all right, man, you are the guy. And when you're the guy in the NFL, that means pass protection, that means in the passing game, that means in the run game. You can't just specialize in one thing. So I'm sure there's a lot on his plate. And overall, I think I'm not going to sit here and say, like, he's the franchise running back. You know, like, he's the guy moving forward, no doubt about it. Give him 30 carries. But I think for what he's being asked to do, I think it's pretty good. All right. Last call, James Y, part two.
Got my second submission in. This is still moments after. Devin Neal, average wasn't too great. I mean, with this offensive line.
Amazing. We had the Devin Neal question, and now we got a pseudo Devin Neal answer.
You can't expect these running backs to go out.
Yeah, that's also true. It's like the offensive line is also garbage.
Yards a carry, like we're getting for 18.
Yeah.
It's just they have no push. And it's today was just a bad day for a lot of them, for a lot of our line. And the run game reflects that. We really don't have a run game, but I thought for what was allowed and for what the situation was, I thought Devin Neal played pretty admirably.
Yeah.
Getting yards.
Man, that's amazing. Said the exact same thing I said. That was all right. Keep it up, young man.
Maybe they weren't necessarily
exact
as
same words
guaranteed
everything
as it would be on some other offensive lines. But I just hope going forward that we just continue to utilize the pieces that got us to where we needed to, and not even where we needed to because we didn't win, but got us to at least to be in position to finally win another game. Because after today's performance, if we go next week and Devon Vele is one catch for 13 yards on a third and 18, it's like, dude, just start throwing the ball to this guy.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. He's going to make a play. Devin Neal, look, 13, I forget, at one point he had like 13 carries for like 41 yards or something like that. But they were tough yards.
Hell yeah.
It felt like
he's running. I mean, no doubt about
one
that.
One broken tackle at times away from breaking in another 5-6 yards. I liked what I saw from Neal. Kind of just wanted to kind of call in and say that. Defense, and I'll say this because I've been a proud supporter of Staley and what the defense can at least give you every so often, but we do got to work on tackling. I don't know if that's coaching or if that's an individual pride thing, but I mean, there's way too much arm tackling. I mean, if this was Pop Warner, Coach's head would be exploding with all the.
Oh yeah, especially with our DBs, and they're not exactly the tackling gods, but like Alante, even Jonas Sanker, there's a lot of arm with it.
Arm tackling I'm seeing from our defense, and it's weird because for whatever reason, I don't know if it's like a curse in New Orleans, but it's like it seems like for a long time now, we've had issues with tackling. And I just find that weird because a lot of the A-chain runs, it's like, yeah, he's a strong runner. He's a small guy. But some of it is like for those type of people, you can't just grab onto their shoulder and try to swing them down. He was living off of that. Like the first contact is a guy just trying to grab at his arm. It's like, yeah, he's going to shake off of that.
Yeah.
He's a strong runner. And anytime you got a running back who runs strong that way, especially the guys that are shorter, you got to get that center mass. Or just below center mass so you can stop his momentum because you grabbing his arm isn't doing anything but shifting his weight and keeping his same momentum. You're turning his body slightly and he's still running full speed behind, right by you. Look, A-Chain's is growing into a premier back. Dude's, you know what I'm saying? He's a hell of a player. But I know we got players on this defense that they just – it's just odd watching it. It really is. And, yeah, I just kind of wanted to just rant about that too because I feel like a lot of the drives, for as good as the defense kind of played overall, a lot of those sustained drives were just poor tackling. And they couldn't get off the field. And a couple of bad, you know what I'm saying, a couple of bad plays from some defenders. But overall, defense overall is okay. As per my last message, offense, you got a lot of work to do.
You're not wrong.
And there's still games to play this season. So, yeah, just going on to the 2026 season in the draft.
All right, brother. Good call. Couldn't agree more. I mean, yeah, tackling's been bad. It's got to get fixed. Offense's been bad. Got to get fixed. All right, ladies and gentlemen, great calls. Thank you very much for watching. I will see you in the next video.